John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 in your Bible. While you're finding your place, good news from the West Coast. Brother Kirk Beard, Beth's brother, had 250 today. Amen. His highest attendance ever, I believe, right? And, of course, we've got a bit of a financial investment out there, Brother Kirk. And so we're happy to hear that good report from Brother Beard this evening. That's wonderful. Find a place. Let's stand together, please. We're going to read verses 19, 20, and 21 of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19 says, please join me on verse 20 when we get there. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's pray together. We'll preach tonight for a little bit out of this passage on the subject. Three impossibilities involving brotherly love. Three impossibilities involving brotherly love. I'm very serious about this. It's been on my heart for some weeks leading up to these messages. And as a church grows, gets larger, you end up, I find this all the time in talking to people. Oh, Brother so-and-so. And they'll scratch their head. They don't know Brother so-and-so. Same church family, but they sit across the auditorium. Or they sit down front or they sit in the back. And you don't know each other. And I don't want that to get to the, I don't want to get to the place right here, no matter how big we may get, that we don't keep a fervent love for each other. We don't know each other. Now, some people aren't going to enter into it. They don't want to be a part of that love. They don't want any part of it. You have to really wonder if they're born of the same father that we're born of. You have to wonder about that. But I want us to stay in love with each other. It is the identification badge. It's what Jesus said. And I'm taking these messages very seriously. Three impossibilities involving brotherly love. Thank you, dear Father, for loving us. The book says that we only love you because you first loved us. So we rejoice in your love tonight. Help us, God, as we grow to love you, to love others as well. And help us to love each other. I'm talking about the people inside the four walls of this auditorium. Give us a fervent charity in these last days among ourselves. Help us to be obedient to Scripture and to take it seriously. And I'll thank you for it. Help me as I preach tonight for these moments in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. The identification badge for a child of God is his love for fellow believers. We said last week that love for fellow believers is instinctive to saved people. Look at verse number 7 of 1 John chapter 4. We looked at it last week. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Love is of God. Love is of God. It is from God. And to those of us who get saved, the love for each other is instinctive in us because love comes from God. Hold your place here in 1 John 4 and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's an interesting verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 9. I'm going to show you the scripture tonight. Look at it with me if you will, please. We have some other scriptures to turn to in just a few moments. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 9. Notice what Paul said to the believers here. Are you there? He says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. Paul said, really, the subject of brotherly love, I don't even need to take time to mention. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. What he's saying is, it's instinctive. It's instinctive for us. When you get saved, that new nature that moves within you, comes to life within you, the instinct of that new nature is to love fellow believers. You don't have to be taught about it. You don't have to be instructed, really, because Paul said, I don't even need to write to you about this, because you're taught of God to love one another. Man, it's instinctive in you. And I'll tell you what, the last place I wanted to be was at church before I got saved. And I didn't want to go because the message bored me, but I didn't care anything about the people either. When I got saved, that changed tremendously. I mean, 180 degrees. Not only did I get interested in the message, I got interested in the people. That's instinctive in you when you're born of God. Because God is love. And love is of God. And God teaches every one of us, as soon as we get saved, to love fellow believers. All right, now back to 1 John chapter 4. Now, there might be a person who claims to love God, and yet from day to day exhibits a disdain, a dislike maybe detests fellow believers. And let's face it, folks. Let me just come aside to say this. The love for each other commandment is applicable to the people that are around us. I'm talking about the people inside this building right here. I mean, right here as a membership of our church. Now, this includes people around the world who are saved, but it is not limited to remote people who we never see, never talk to. You understand what I'm saying? The command was given to a group of men, Jesus' disciples, and Jesus expected them to practice this love among each other. And so this love each other commandment is talking about the people inside the walls of this building specifically. And yes, we do have a responsibility to love believers around the world, even if we never meet them. But how difficult is that, folks? That's pretty simple, really, isn't it? It's loving those closest to you that sometimes presents the greatest challenge. Because familiarity breeds contempt. Amen, it does. This is the identification badge. This is what God said, Jesus said, is going to make us different from all the other folks out in the world. So for somebody to claim to love God and then to come to service after service after service with a heart full of disdain, a heart of dislike, a heart that detests the fellow believers that make up the congregation of the church, and for a person to make a claim that in spite of that they love God is nothing but a lie. It's a lie. I didn't say that. God said that. Look at verse number 20 here. He said, if a man say, notice that, if a man say, I love God. Just because a man says he loves God doesn't mean he loves God. You can say anything. I mean, I can say that I can dunk a basketball. But come over to the gym sometime and see. Amen. I'd be lucky to get down the court 3 or 4 times. Say, praise the Lord. You can say anything. Oh, I love God. If a man say, I love God, look at it. And hateth his brother, he is a liar. I'm talking about the people inside the four walls of this church. I'm talking about right in here. I'm talking about the people we rub shoulders with. You see, it is impossible to love God and hate your brother. In fact, the Bible teaches quite the opposite. The Bible teaches that as I grow in love and as I grow in faith, if I grow in faith in Jesus and I grow in love for God, that my love for fellow Christians will grow as well. The Bible teaches that. Let me show you some verses on this. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. Take you to four places in your New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 15. I'm talking about brotherly love. I know this subject. Maybe grates on some of you. I know you'd rather hear preaching against homosexuality and against abortion and against alcohol. Yeah, you got those things whipped. But this love for your brother thing, you're having a hard time with. Amen. It's what gives us our distinction. Look at verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Did you see that? Faith unto Jesus coupled with love unto all the saints. Look at Colossians chapter 1, a few pages over to your right. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 4. Colossians 1 and verse number 4. I love to hear the pages of the scriptures turning. It's what makes a difference in a Baptist church and other churches. We use the Bible. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Do you see it again? Coupled together. Your faith in Jesus and your love to all the saints. You kind of get the idea that they go together. Look at Philemon. Any chapter you'd like to look at in Philemon. Amen. Philemon only has one chapter. It's after the book of Titus. Keep turning to your right. Go through the Timothys and you come to Titus and then you come to Philemon. 25 verses make up the book of Philemon. Great study in the book of Philemon. Look at Philemon. And verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Coupled together again. Love and faith toward Jesus. Love toward all the saints. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Keep turning to your right. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. Here's a great promise found in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, watch this now, which ye have showed toward His name, the name of God, the name of Jesus, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Love for God coupled with serving and loving the saints. Now, folks, that's four verses in your New Testament that couple together faith and love for God. Faith in Jesus and love for God with love for all the saints. You kind of get the idea that the love for Jesus and love for God and love for your fellow believers go together. They're connected, see. And these were the saints that these people went to church with. These were the saints that these people lived in the same towns with. And they rubbed shoulders with them. And their love for Jesus Christ resulted in a more fervent love for each other. And that's the honest truth. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it is impossible for a man to say, I love God, and at the same time hate his fellow brother. Impossible. What is true about you and me is that as our love for God grows, it will be evident because we'll love others. We'll love fellow believers, not just lost people. Not just saved people remote to us from around the world. We'll love the fellow believers that we rub shoulders with on a weekly basis. Those with whom we become familiar will love each other with a fervent love. The more we love God. That's what the Bible says about us. How are we doing? And if we have a problem with love for each other, obviously our problem is our love for God. That's obviously the problem. Our love for Jesus isn't what it ought to be. Now I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Keep turning in your Bible there to the right. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 4. Our love or our lack of love for our fellow brother is not a fellow brother problem. It's a love to God problem. That's our problem. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. Notice here what the Bible says. Peter said in this verse, and above all things. I wonder if we believe that. And above all things. I wonder if we believe that. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. By the way, drop back up to verse number 7 where he said, but the end of all things is at hand. In other words, this is the last days. And because the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Fervent charity. Now, how do you cultivate and grow this fervent charity? And I like those two words there, among yourselves. Again, folks, the fervent love we're talking about here is not how passionate you are for people living in Africa or Australia or Russia who need to be saved, or those fellow believers in China who are meeting in underground churches. Oh, I love those people. God bless them. I'm so proud of them and thank God for their faithfulness. That's good and dandy, but you never talk to those people. You never see those people. How is your love for the people you rub shoulders with? How is our love amongst ourselves? That's what Peter said. Have fervent charity among yourselves. Can you look around the room tonight and say in truth that you have fervent charity for the fellow believers that sit in this building? Can you? Because that's what he's talking about. Among yourselves. Are you mad at somebody? You have an ugly heart towards somebody? Got to get it fixed. That's not New Testament Christianity. New Testament Christianity is loving God with all of our heart. And as we do, the result of that will be to love our fellow believers with all of our heart. Love Jesus the most. Love Him more. And automatically there will be a love for the believers among you. Oh, God can fix it. You say, but he or she, they're so hard to love. I wonder what God did when He chose to love us. We'll talk about that in the future. Because we're told to love each other as He loved us. There's our example. Ouch. Amen. All right. Let me give you three impossibilities involving brotherly love tonight. Number one, I've already said this, but it is impossible to love the one you haven't seen if you don't love those you have seen. That's what he said in 1 John chapter 4. Look at that again. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20. It is impossible to love the one, I'm talking about God, you haven't seen if you don't love those you have seen. Look at verse number 20 again. If a man say, just because a man says something doesn't mean it's so. People back in Christopher Columbus's day said the world was flat. But they were liars, amen, or just ignorant. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Watch this. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? It is impossible to love the one you haven't seen, God, if you don't love those you have seen. You can't do that. Brother Caleb, stand up here with me, if you will. Here is a Christian brother. I see him. I hear him. I hear him when he laughs. Amen. He's got that laugh. Well, you can tell Brother Caleb's laugh from 100 miles away. I interact with Caleb. I rub shoulders with him. Now watch. If I do not love him and yet claim to love God, God says that is impossible. It is impossible to hate the one I see and love the one I have not seen. Now, I didn't write that. God wrote it. It's impossible. Can't happen. So for people to say, I love God, but I just can't stand the people at church, you're a liar. I didn't say it. God said it. See, now, look, one of the reasons that I can't love God unless I love Him. One of the reasons I can't say I love Him. No, excuse me. One of the reasons I can't say I love God and hate Him is because, look at folks, He is made in the image of God. So how can I hate him and say I love the one in whose image he is made? Are you listening to me tonight? Huh? I can't do that. I can't detest Brother Caleb and love God because Brother Caleb is made in God's image. And if I love God, I'm going to love him because he's made in his image. Thank you, Brother Caleb. Let me show you this in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. Let's put it on a human level here. 1 Kings chapter 5. Name Hiram mean anything to you out of the Old Testament? Hiram was a king. He was a king during the days of David. He also was a king during the days of Solomon. Now hold your finger there in 1 John 4. We'll go back there. I want you to show you this out of 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings Solomon has just been made king over the nation of Israel. And Hiram, are you there, 1 Kings 5? And verse 1, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon. For he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. Watch this. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. So Hiram had this tremendous love for King David. The Bible says he was ever a lover of David. Ever a lover of David. Loved him tremendously. And he got news. David was dead. And now Solomon, his son, had been anointed king. The first thing Hiram did was sent his servants to Solomon and said, boys, go over there, make yourself available. Whatever Solomon needs, you get busy and help him with it. Why did he do that? He loved Solomon because he loved Solomon's father. Solomon was made in the image of David. He had David's genetics in his body. And Hiram's heart was attached to David. He loved David. And because he loved David, he automatically loved his son. And I say to us again, if my love for God is right, I will automatically love the people who are made in his image. Automatically. And it is impossible for me to hate anybody in this auditorium and my love for God to be what it ought to be. Impossible. Impossible. I can't hate people who are made in His image and love Him. Rick Blaylock and his wife, Crystal, were here some weeks ago on a Wednesday night to present their work. Rick Blaylock had probably the best missionary presentation I've seen. I thought that was tremendous. Now, I called his daddy this week and talked to him about his situation down in Florida, see how it's going with the city council. And they are making progress, and everybody and their brothers called and tried to help Brother Blaylock with that thing. Christian Law Association, Lighthouse, all, Legal Minister, all of them. Man, just unbelievable. But anyway, Rick Blaylock was here, and I told Jim, I said, Jim, it was a blessing to have Rick here. I said, you know, I take missionary families once in a while out to eat. Sometimes I take guest speakers out to eat that I don't know well. It's just hard to carry on a conversation with them. You have to kind of work to make the conversation flow. You know what I'm talking about? You have to work to make the conversation. You talk about something, then it kind of dies out, and then you got to sit there. You don't go just sit there and eat. You know, you can kind of fill the gap with, boy, this enchilada is good, you know, but that only, you know, it can only be good so long, you know. So then you got to think of something else, and then you got to think of something else. But I told Jim, I said, my wife and I said, that was the easiest and the quickest hour to hour and a half we have ever spent with a missionary family. I saw that boy when he was about that big years ago down in Florida. I hadn't seen him for years and years and years. And yet it was so easy in that restaurant, just a fellowship. It was nonstop. It was laughed. It was cut up. It was talk. It was tell stories. There was never a downtime. There was never a dull moment. You know why that is? You know why it was so easy for me to fellowship with Rick Blaylock? Because he's made in the image of his daddy. And I love Jim. Man, my roots and my ties with Jim Blaylock go back 27, 28 years ago. Starting out together as freshmen. He didn't know anybody and I didn't know anybody. And God's providence put us together working in the same bus division. Jim didn't have a car. And he and I would ride together on Saturdays to visit the bus routes. And he was a captain. I was a captain right next door to him. Worked at the same place together. Got married 3 weeks apart. Lived in the same apartment complex together after we got married. Roomed together. I mean, man, I love Jim Blaylock. And because I love Jim, it was not hard for me to love the boy who was made in his image. He talked like his daddy. He reminded me of his daddy. He had his demeanor of Brother Jim. His tone of voice, the inflections in his voice, all of it put together, just a little Jim there. And the conversation never ceased. It never slowed down. You see, the truth of the matter is, if I truly love Brother Jim Blaylock, it would be impossible for me to detest his boy. Impossible. Impossible. Because that young man is made in his image. I love Rick because I love his daddy. And friend, I want to tell you something. You know what is direct proof of my love for God and of your love for God? Direct proof of my love for God and your love for God is our love for each other. Because you and I are made in His image. And the Bible says it is impossible to love the one you have not seen and hate the ones you do see who are made in His image. You show me a Christian who loves believers. Show me a Christian in this church who loves other Christians, and I'll show you a Christian who is in a pretty good relationship with Jesus Christ. You show me, on the other hand, you show me a Christian who treats other Christians with disdain, treats them with an ugly spirit, dislikes them, detests being around them, can't bring themselves to even speak to them. You show me a Christian like that, and they claim to love God, and I'll show you a liar. I didn't say it was impossible. God did. God said it can't happen. Love for each other, those who are among you, is great proof of our love for God. It is impossible to love the one we have not seen and hate the ones we have seen who are made in His image. Impossible. I've done my fervent charity. I'm talking about the thing that Jesus said would make us distinctive. We talk about what makes us distinctive as our standards. Mormons have standards. Sometimes they're higher than ours. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another. Friend, I want to tell you something. Take it seriously. Are you able to look the fellow members of this church in the eyeball, shake their head, have a good word for them, and feel good in your heart about your brother? Are you able to do that? No. Because it's impossible to truly love him rightly and hate or detest the one that's in the building. Impossible. Let me give you another impossibility. It is impossible to love God. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn back a few pages. 1 Peter chapter 4. It is impossible to love God and dwell on the imperfections of His people. It is impossible to love God and dwell on the imperfections of His people. I'll say it again. It is impossible to love God and dwell on the imperfections of His people. I'm not talking about the imperfections of people in Dwight or Northwest or across the world. I'm talking about the imperfections of people in this room. Among yourselves. Impossible to love God and dwell on the imperfections of His people. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. If I love God, I will love His people. And if I love His people, my mind will not dwell on their imperfections. Now listen to me. If a brother is involved in a sin that is destroying his life, it would not be love for me to turn my head and ignore it. And as pastor, as Christian school principal, as responsible for the bus ministry, responsible for the youth department, yes, there are times when we can't turn our heads at misbehavior. We can't turn our heads if they break rules at the school. I can't turn my head to a consistently sinning, out of fellowship with God, adulterous church member. I can't turn. That's not talking about that. This is talking, sometimes young people especially, you know, in the name of friendship and love, they'll turn their eyes, even though a friend is obviously involved in some sin that'll destroy their life, but because they're a friend, they'll turn their head and won't say anything to try to get them any help. There's a big difference in tale-bearing and truth-bearing. You just study the book of Proverbs sometimes. Truth-bearing and tale-bearing, big difference. Tale-bearing. My wife got a call from her sister this week. Heidi. Heidi said, Joyce, hello, this is Heidi. Well, how are you doing? I'm okay. Well, how's Terry? Well, he's fine. Are you sure? I said, yeah, we're fine. Why? She said, well, I was at a ladies' conference out in central Iowa. I was talking to one of the speakers afterwards, and she was talking about people going through difficult times. And she said to Heidi, she said, yeah, well, even your brother-in-law, Terry Angel, is going through a horrible time. And she said, when's the last time you talked to your sister? Said, you better call her and check up on her, make sure things are going through a horrible time. I said, well, if these are horrible times, I can't wait till the good times get here. Amen. I don't know where in the world they got that. I don't know where they get that. That's a tail bearer. You know, I can't do anything about that. You can't worry about that kind of stuff. Amen. But truth bearing, there are times when God exposes something to you for the express purpose of you getting that person some help. You don't get them there. You don't get them help by running to peers. You go to somebody who's in authority over them and get them some help. But this is talking especially about sins or faults or failings in a person's relationship with us. Offenses. Maybe personal failures of character. Love overlooks and never takes those things to heart. Never takes them personally. Never lets it get deep down. If I love God and love His people with a fervent charity, those imperfections of character, those offenses, those failures or failings that come my direction, I will overlook them. I won't see them. If I see them, I won't think on them. I won't dwell on it. I won't let it get to me. You say, Pastor, you say that we ought to love our brother because he's made in the image of God. But man, the brother mars that image. You know, if we saw a better image of God, if I saw a better image of God, I could love Him. Let me tell you something. Rick Blaylock may never measure up to the man his dad is. I don't know. Time will tell. I have no idea if Rick will ever measure up to be the man his daddy is. He may take a turn. He may compromise. He may go a different path. But you hear me, friend. I will always love Rick Blaylock because I love him. His dad. Now, I may not love what he's doing. And as far as I know, he's doing fine. I'm just making this as an example. He doesn't have to be greater than Brother Jim. He doesn't have to be an exact replica of Brother Jim for me to love him. I love the original. Because I love the original, I'll love the copy, and I'll overlook any imperfections. I will tell you something. If I love God, He's the original. Then I'll love the copy. And I'll overlook imperfections. They won't get in my heart. They won't reside there, be ugly. Get to the place where I can't look at somebody, I can't speak to them. I won't do that. Fervent charity will not let me do that. Folks, again, I'm talking about the thing that's supposed to be the defining factor that identifies us as the people of God. The world, you find some work in the business world out there. It's... If you can stomp on somebody or lie about somebody, or if you can take somebody's failure and broadcast it to gain yourself some kind of promotion, hey, tough. That's unsaved people. God's people aren't supposed to act like that. God's people who have fervent charity, who love God and have fervent charity among themselves, they won't dwell on imperfections. And we all have them. Love for people will certainly make me keep any of their imperfections hidden from others. I won't broadcast it. I'm not talking about moral sin, folks. I'm talking about the stuff that you and I are made of. I'm talking about the things we do that are natural to us as humans. And sometimes people create offenses toward us. But if I love God, I will not hold that against them. It won't get in my heart. I'll let it go. See, if I become aware of someone's imperfections and I truly love them, I won't let it get to me personally. And I certainly will never broadcast that to others. Tell you a story. Ben was at a church recently, some weeks ago. Another state. The guy used to be in Iowa. He was in Iowa when I was in Iowa. I preached for him. Went to camp together. Know him well. And he had some problems in Iowa. Not moral problems. He didn't morally compromise, anything like that. Just had some troubles. Did some dumb things. Had to resign his church. Went to church somewhere else for a while. It wasn't a moral issue. Didn't disqualify himself from the ministry. Just had to get his feet back on the ground. Spent 3 or 4 years getting his feet back on the ground. And then God put him in another state with a nice little church. He's been pastoring there. And the thing is growing and growing and growing and growing. And he asked Ben to come present his word. And Ben and Luke went with him, I think. So he and Ben were out for a drive one day and going somewhere, and he got to talking to Ben. And he said, Ben, since I went through all those hard times out in Iowa and made those mistakes, I've learned an awful lot. God really took me down and really remade me. Ben said he weeps all the time. Tears roll down his face all the time. He said, God really remade me in those difficulties out there. I'm sure you know about that. Ben said, I don't know what he's talking about. He said, you know those hard times I went through in Iowa. Now, I hate to give this illustration because it's a little bit personal, but I'm going to give it for the effect of what I'm trying to say tonight. He said, when I went through those hard times, there were 4 pastors that called me. He said, your daddy was the first. He said, you know about those things. Your daddy talked to you. He said, Ben said, called his name, said, my dad didn't say a word to me. He said, you don't know about those things, and I? He said, I don't know a thing about it. Whatever happened, I don't know what you're talking about. Ben said, that guy looked ahead of him and mumbled to himself, that puts him up a notch in my book. Why? Why would I tell Ben? Why would I want to tell my son about a believer's past failure? Why would I want to taint his thinking? Why would I want to do that? That man's being blessed of God right now. See, I'm going to tell you something. We have far less patience with people than God does. Now, who are we? We write people off and send them where they're done. God's done with him. God's not done. Shut our mouths. Practice some fervent charity among ourselves. If I love God and I love people, I'm not going to major on imperfections. You don't want people to major on your imperfections? Don't major on that. Forget it. It won't stick. It won't get in my craw. See? I never knew that meeting would take place. I never did. Never did. But man, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God, my Father in heaven tonight. That Ben didn't have to say, yeah, Dad told me. I thank God for that. I tell you what, you know where preachers kill their kids is by discussing all other preachers' failures in front of their kids. And even church members. And that's not, you folks are not table talk at our house. You ask them. Four sets of ears sitting out there tonight. 16 plus years, two other sets of ears used to sit in here. We didn't raise our kids on a constant diet of, oh, this brother, this woman, this man. They would hate this church. But they love it, and you know they love it. Because of this very thing I'm talking about, folks. That's fervent charity. Fervent charity. Love covers a multitude of sins. Imperfections. Let me give you the third one. It is impossible. I got to quit. It is impossible to love God and ignore His commandment. Because remember, it is His commandment. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. His commandment. Singular. Look at 1 John 4. Look at it. 1 John 4. Singular. It's impossible to love God and ignore His commandment. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment, singular, have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. One commandment. They can't be separated. Look at 1 John 3. We're right there. Look at verse 23. Previous chapter. And this is His commandment, singular, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. In the Old Testament, they had 10 commandments. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm going to reduce those 10 to 2. And before it's all said and done, God says there's one commandment. It's a singular commandment. Love me and love your brother. And you can't separate the two. So you tell me how it's possible to ignore this commandment and love God. I submit to you it's impossible. You can't ignore the commandment and love God because they go together. Love God, love Him. Love God, love Him. Love God, love Him. Love you. Every one of you. No matter how long you've been here, no matter what's passed under the bridge, water-wise, no, love you all. Everybody. We need to make it our business to fulfill His command. Our business, my business. I need to make it my business to fulfill this command. It's a singular command. Love God, love people. Can't do one without the other. So, well, what about people, the way people treat me? You can't. What are you going to do, folks? You'll be insane if you try to worry about that. Huh? I read a little story some time ago. General Robert E. Lee was in discussion with President Jefferson Davis. President Davis, and there was a couple other generals in the conversation there just listening in. President Davis asked General Lee about a certain officer under his command. And General Lee spoke in glowing terms about this officer to President Davis. Utmost confidence, great tactical leader, blah, blah, blah. Tremendous man, confidence. They left President Davis's presence. One of the officers who was standing there just listening said to General Lee, said, General, do you know that the man of whom you spoke so highly to the president is one of your bitterest enemies? And he never misses an opportunity to malign your character. And yet you spoke so highly of him. And Robert E. Lee said, he replied to that general, he said, "Sir, the president asked me my opinion of him. He did not ask for his opinion of me." Well, so-and-so would love. Who cares, folks? So what? That's not your business. My business is to make sure I keep this commandment. And your business is to make sure you keep it. I wonder what would happen if all of us just got busy about our business. Huh? I don't know if your eyes are open or not, folks. I don't know if you look around. Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, a lot of people coming here. God's been good to us. All kinds of folks. Folks that have just been saved. Folks have been saved forever and ever and ever. Sometimes it's easier to love those folks who've just been saved than it is to love the ones who've been around forever and ever and ever. But Jesus said, the identification badge is your love for each other. I need to make it my business, and so do you. As this church grows, as God blesses it, and more folks come, we need to have fervent charity among ourselves. Among ourselves. Amen? That's what the book says. Now, you know what we need to do? We need to get honest with God and say, "Lord, I've got a problem in this area. You know I've got a problem in this area. You know my heart about somebody. You know my heart about this person. I've got a problem with this." You know God. Get honest with God and get God's help. But you never get God's help till you first get honest and admit, say, "Lord, I need help." Get honest about it. Fervent charity. Let's pray together. Thank you for your attention. Dear Lord, bless the message to our hearts tonight. Boy, it's convicting. Lord, I want to have fervent charity. I want to obey this commandment. So, Lord, help me, please. Make it my business to love you and to love these dear people. Lord, when imperfections show, and when my imperfections show, cause us, oh God, not to take them personally, not to retaliate in revenge, but Lord, to have fervent charity among ourselves. That's my prayer tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who's here would say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? Could you lift a hand in the air tonight? "I'm not sure I'm saved." Anybody here that's been saved and not baptized since you've been saved? You ought to come and follow the Lord in believers' baptism tonight. Anybody like that here tonight? Christian, how you doing? As you look around, I see one small hand of a child, maybe to get baptized. Talk to mom or dad, or if you're ready and mom and dad are ready, that's great. You come during the invitation time. Christian, we're to have fervent charity among ourselves. That's within the four walls of this church. Do you love people? And do you love the people of your church family? Do you love the guy who maybe is a little hard to get along with? Can you say you love him? Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Fervent charity. Make it our business. Make it your business. Ladies, play us a song of invitation, would you? As the ladies play, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Come, right? Would you come? I invite you to come. Frequent the altar. Would you come? Heart tonight, how's your love for your brother? Your fellow believer, those that are among us, how is it tonight? Everything in good shape? Help us all in this area. God, I pray that you'd help us to be right where we're supposed to be. in love with you and in love with a fervent charity for each other among ourselves. May we know it. May we know what it is. May it be real to us, I pray. It's a concern of mine, Lord. You know it is. Drive it home to our hearts, please. May there be no resistance on our part. May it be teachable in this area. Hungry to be like you and hungry to obey you. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Concerns me at an invitation like this when about four people come. I hope you're okay on it. If we stop responding or if the God quits speaking to hearts, man, we're done. Shut the place down. I hope it's okay in your heart tonight. You don't have to be best buddies with everybody. You don't have to be best buddies with anybody. But there ought to be a fervent charity among your heart, among yourselves in your heart. And you know what? If there's not, folk, and God doesn't touch you about it, that concerns me. Let God deal with you. Dear Father, help us as we go about our ways this week. May this truth stick in our hearts and minds. And Lord, may we think of each other and pray for each other. May we practice this fervent charity. May we know its reality. It is the distinct. It is that which distinguishes us. God, people will know something is going on at Faith Baptist by our love for each other. So help us to know its reality, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.